Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another Heroes of Faith. We're having a good time learning about the characters of the Bible, and it is a big book. You go from Genesis to Revelation. If you look at the index, the back of your Bible, I don't care what kind of Bible you got, there are a ton of stories about a ton of people, and they're all in there by divine appointment. I'll just tell you, I loved how, read the stories, how they put the Bible together, and they met for years, just years of collection of putting everybody in there, and how it all fits together so perfectly from Genesis to Revelation. Today we're going to be in 2 Kings chapter 5. This is a great story. Now, I mentioned before that I taught chapel for 10 years in a Christian school, and so I taught, I think it was 171 days a year that we had a class. And so I had a 50-minute class, chapel class, and I was teaching the Bible to Christian kids. And so I realized something early on, that we are an ignorant people. A lot of people carry the Bible. People might read a proverb or a psalm, but nobody ever reads the Bible. You know, you're supposed to meditate in it day and night. Then you'll prosper and have good success, 3 John 2. Joshua 1:8 and Psalms 1:1-3. You know, if you meditate in it day and night, you'll prosper and have good success. Well, I learned early. I like to prosper, and I like being successful. how do I do that? Well, you might want to meditate in the Word. Well, how do you meditate? You think about it. Well, you can't think about it unless you've read it. That's why the Bible says to study to show yourself approved, a workman needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So at some point, God loves everybody. God's fair with everybody. At some point, you get to choose, you know, instead of watching this program or just sitting here staring up in space, I might want to open my Bible and just read a little bit. Just a little bit, 5-10 minutes a day, just start, because it'll create its own hunger. I've told my own personal kids, if you start reading your Bible, it will create its own hunger. But the more you stay away, the more you want to stay away. So you don't want to do that. So anyhow, this is about a little slave girl helping Naaman. Naaman's a great guy and got a lot of challenges in his life, but he's been very successful. But now all of a sudden he's got a problem. He's got a health problem. So this is 2 Kings chapter 5. It says, in the country north of Israel lived the Syrians. And boy, these were the bad guys. They had never been taught about the true God. So they worshipped an idol called Rimmon. In their cities, they built temples to Rimmon. While Elisha was the prophet of Israel, the Syrians sometimes attacked the cities of Israel. I mean, they're constantly raiding and burning down the houses and killing people and stealing stuff. The invaders took from these cities anything they wanted. Sometimes they even took the people for slaves. And so this is a story about a little girl that was captured, and when they invaded the city, and they made her a slave. So one way this was, a little girl was captured. Others were taken also to Syria and sold as a slave. Naaman, the rich captain of the Syrian army, saw the little girl, and he bought her to serve his wife. What do you know? Well, I'm the army's captain, and I'm the enemy over here, and I saw this girl that got bought. Hey, I think she can work for my wife. And so he buys her. And that's how this thing gets started. And the little maid was treated kindly. She learned how to wait on her mistress. After a while, she began to think like her new home. As time passed, she began to think about Naaman and his wife as her family. So she's so young, she's been there so long. Hey, this is my family now. That's kind of like my stepdad, my stepmom. They treat me real good, and this is where I'm at. Well, then trouble came to Naaman. He had a serious disease called leprosy. And boy, back then, that was bad news. That was just like, man, that was the death knell. So he's got leprosy. Already there were white spots on his skin. Unless he was cured, his skin would decay and just drop off. They had camps where they'd send people because you couldn't get rid of it. You just died of it. At first, he didn't have any pain, but Naaman knew that eventually he would suffer greatly. Eventually, his fingers and toes were going to fall off. Perhaps he'd lose other parts of his body, and finally, he knew he'd die. He's seen people in the country. What happens to leprosy? Starts slow, keeps growing, you can't get rid of it. Well, the king of Syria loved the captain of his army. but he's got leprosy. Naaman was a brave captain. He'd led the Syrians to victory many, many times. The king sought so much of him, he chose the captain to go with him to the Temple of Ramon to worship their idol. He said, man, I like this guy. You go with me, you're going into our wacky church, and let's pray to this wacky God. Maybe he can do something for us. Well, the little slave girl, too, was sad when she found out that her master had this terrible disease. How much she wanted to comfort Naaman and his wife. So she told her mistress, if my Naaman would go to the God's prophet in Samaria, the prophet would make him well. Now, this is a kid who's a slave. Who are these people? Well, they captured me and probably killed my parents and made me a slave, but I like them. I've been here long enough, but I feel sorry for them. My new master, he's got leprosy, and it's not good. But she knows. She remembers her country. She remembers there's a prophet in her country. So listen, if you go to my country, get this prophet, he can make him well. Well, Naaman's wife was interested at once, and she hurried to tell her husband what the little girl said. So Naaman ran to tell the king. The king smiled when he heard about it because he loved Naaman, and he wanted to see him cured of leprosy. I will write a letter to the king of Israel and ask him to cure you of this disease. Then you'll go to Samaria at once and take the letter with you, the king said. The king of Syria knew nothing about the true God, but he thought surely the king of Israel would be the most powerful person in all the country. So to repay the king of Israel for his favor, he sent gold and silver and beautiful clothing. The servants loaded all these gifts onto the horses. With Naaman, they started off for Samaria. Naaman's prancing horses and great chariot stopped before the palace in Samaria. A messenger delivered the letter to the king. Anxiously, Naaman and the servants waited outside the gate for the king's answer. You got to sense them. Here's a king having his daily thing. Who's outside? Well, he is the captain of your enemy's military. He's sitting outside. And so how distressed the king of Israel was when he read the letter. Does the king hear that I'm God, that I can kill and they can make alive? So why does he send this leprous man to me? How can I make him well? It must be the king of Syria using the only tactic as an excuse to make war against us. He said, man, this guy's here to get us killed. He was so troubled that he tore his clothes, for he did not know what to do. Man, if he had loved and served the true God instead of idols, he would have known about God's prophet, Elisha. Outside the gate, Naaman and his servants wondered why the king was so slow. Little did they know the excitement and trouble that their letter had caused. While they waited for Elisha to send the king out, he said, why have you torn your clothes? Send this leprous man to me so we can know there is a prophet in Israel. The king was relieved to get Elisha's message. Quickly, he sent Naaman to a servant at Elisha's house. When Naaman and his servants came, Elisha didn't even go out to meet him. Now, you got to understand something. This is the king of the most powerful nation on the planet right now, and your chief enemy. I mean, so it's like, well, you go out and greet him, you roll out the red carpet, you serve him a good meal, you give him some hors d'oeuvres. No. And so he says he wouldn't even go out to meet him. Instead, he sent his servant, and he told Naaman, my master Elisha says, go wash in the Jordan River 7 times, then your skin will become new, and the leprosy will be gone. Now, you got to see how wacky this is. And so you can see the response of this. Naaman was insulted. Not only had Elisha refused to come out and see him, but he told Naaman to go bathe in the muddy Jordan. I've been there, man. It's a muddy river. This is not a clean place. Angry, Naaman stalked away from Elisha's house and started back to Syria. Why would I bathe in a muddy river when I can bathe in the clear waters out of rivers in my own home? Naaman's servants knew the bathing alone would not take care of their master's leprosy. They wanted to do as the prophet had said. If he did not, he might not ever be well again. One servant told Naaman, if this prophet had come to you and told you to do something hard, would you have done it? Naaman, yeah, I'd have done that. Then the servant said, well, why not do this little thing to be cured of your leprosy? And Naaman knew the servant had spoken wisely, so he ordered the driver to turn toward the Jordan. And when they reached the river, he went down into the muddy water. I mean, it's a mud hole, people. I've been there. Muddy water, and he dipped 1 time. Still spots of leprosy were here. Then he dipped another time. He could still see no change. 3 times, 4 times, 5 times, 6 times he dipped. Nothing happened. When he came out of the water the 7th time, he could not see a single trace of the leprosy anywhere. It was totally gone. How happy Naaman was. He must go to the prophets at once and tell him what happened. When Elisha came out, Naaman said, now I know there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. How thankful was that he was well again. Now, you know something? It's a great story, and I've told it so many times in chapel. So many times you feel God. God doesn't yell. God, the Bible says, speaks in a still, small voice. Have you ever had a thought and you think, huh, that's an interesting thought? Well, that's probably God. God doesn't yell. He doesn't scream. He didn't show up in the lightning bolts. You know the story about the prophet that was running for his life? He said God was not in the thunder. God was not in the wind. God was not in the fire. God was in the still, small voice. I used to tell people, you got to get quiet to hear God. And I've had so many people going through maybe tough times, or could be a job, could be your health, and all of a sudden you get alone. You don't get in front of the TV, you don't go to the movie, you turn off your music, you just get alone somewhere in your house. Maybe go out in the backyard, you go in the closet, shut the door. I got to get quiet for a minute. What are you trying to do? I need to hear God. What are you going to do to hear God? I got to get quiet. I got to get still. That's why a lot of people have trouble sleeping today, because of the, you know, we got the electronics everywhere, TV, cell phone, radio, computers. We're used to being fed. There's some people that can't go to sleep at night unless they leave the lights on and have something playing. You know, they don't know how to be still. They've never been still in their life, and it's like, how can I do this? Well, be still and know that I'm God is still scripture, and you got to learn how to get quiet. How many times people I've known and respected say, oh, how'd you hear from God? Well, I got alone. I got a buddy of mine that's got his doctorate. He says, I get away once a year for about 3 days. I just got a habit a few miles from my house, and I go and I'll just stay for the weekend. He said, I just take a little snack, some water. No TV, no cell phone, no radio. I tell my wife, if it's an emergency, call me, but otherwise, I'm not going to talk to you for 3 days. And he said, I'll just sit there quiet. He said, I might sit on the porch. I might just sit there in the house, might take an extra nap. But all of a sudden, every time without exception, by that third day, I'll get a thought. He said, I'll just be sitting there thinking. He said, you know, I'm reading my scripture, and I've got stuff. I'll take a couple of books I like to read. And I'm just getting quiet. Nobody's interrupting me. Nobody's talking to me. Cell phone's not ringing. And I realized, if I can get quiet, I can hear from God. He said, every time when I run up against something. Now, there have been a few times when I would come home, my wife said, well, what'd you hear? I said, I didn't hear nothing. I had a good time. I was nice and quiet. I didn't hear nothing. Then all of a sudden, a week later, I'd be at work. I'd be driving in town, and I'd get a thought. I thought, oh, man, that's God. That was what I needed. That's the answer to my problem. We do not know how to get quiet. And so that's what happened with Elijah's servant. I mean, yep. Went out and told him, said, you know, if you'll do this, you'll dip in this muddy water. And it's like, Naaman's like, how in the world could this happen? But it did. The Bible says, if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the Lamb. If you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the Lamb. How do you do that? We got to learn how to get quiet. I've told my kids, we are in a busy world. There's always something pulling on you. Something that's vying for your attention. Hey, look here. Listen to this. Watch this. You can't watch any television. Every commercial is used to about half the commercials I've ever seen, because I used to love to watch college football. But half the commercial, somebody's yelling at you. Hey, come on down to the bottom and put a deal in your hand today. You don't need any credit. You don't need any money. 12 months before you have to pay anybody. And I noticed the more they're trying to sell hard, the more they yell at you. I said, well, God doesn't yell. People yell. They're trying to get your attention. The devil yells. You know, what do you? I said, you got to learn how to get quiet. If you can get quiet, you'll hear God. And you can make a habit out of it. And so many people have done that. Say, you know what? When did you hear God? I just had to get quiet for a while. Now, I got a buddy of mine, pastors a great church. He said, usually I'll take a 30-minute nap. He said, if I run into something and I can't solve it, he said, I got an old couch in the back of my office back there. He said, I'll just go back and take me a nap. And I'll tell my guys, say, hey, guys, don't bother me for about an hour. I'm going to go back here and take a nap. And I said, were you sleeping? No, I'm just going to get still. And he said, almost without exception, every time I take a nap, when I wake up, I'll have a thought. We don't. I'm just going to go to sleep and take a nap. And so I'll wake up and I'll have a thought. Might just be a word, or maybe it's a short sentence, but I'll have a thought. That's what I needed. That was the direction I need, because God orders our steps. God directs our paths. God will tell us when to go left, when to go right. But you've got to be able to hear the voice of God to do that. And so I told my kids, the rest of your life, we know we're children of God because we're led by the Spirit of God. How do you know you're a child of God? I'm led by the Spirit of God. And so what happened, Naaman's, hey, man, I'm the King Tut, general of the biggest army on the face of the planet. I also know my finger's going to fall off and I'm going to die. Everybody gets to that point. Hopefully you can get to it before you get to that point. Everybody gets to that point where I don't have any other option. I have no other option. There is no door number two. There's no door number three. If I don't do this, my parts of my anatomy will fall to the ground and I'm going to be dead. And so all of a sudden, God loves us enough. He said, well, there's no more option. You know, when the children of Israel were going to the promised land, God kept trying to test them to use their faith. Guys, it's very important you start using your faith. You know, you got to start using your faith. Still small voice, you know. Jesus spit and made mud, put it on the guy's eyes, but they were healed. God told the leper, says, what can I do for you? Lord, that I might receive my sight. Jesus laid his hands on him, he got his eyeballs back. Every miracle was a phenomenal event, you know, but it was usually because he asked him to do something simple. You know, do this and it'll happen. Faith without works is dead. Every time you start believing God for something, the next thing that's going to happen, God's going to ask you to step out and do something. Every time I've ever believed God for anything in my life, Lord, we need this. Okay, I need you to do this. There's got to be some sort of action with your faith. You can't just sit there and quote scriptures all day long, because faith that works is dead. And so, namely, there's a miracle going to happen. The girl told him, the prophet told him, what are you going to do? Get down in that muddy river. You know, I mean, God ordered at first, it was the little girl saying, hey, there's a prophet in my country. He can get you healed. So he bypassed the prophet to go to the king. No, I said the prophet. So the king realized, oh, man, I'm not God. You need the prophet. So he finally sends him to him, and he says, I need you to go. He wouldn't even come out and meet him. He sent a servant to come out and meet him. You understand how much opposition there is when you start believing God? Every time you start to move, there's opposition. You know, the Bible says that the devil comes immediately when you get a word from God. When the word comes, the devil comes immediately to steal that word. When the word of God, the thing you need, your answer, your deliverance, your salvation, your prosperity, whatever, when the word comes from God, the devil comes immediately. When does the devil show up? When you hear from God. What's he trying to do? He's trying to get you to stop believing that. And so you can see that with Naaman. It caused an opposition. First, like, oh, man, how the little girl. Oh, man, it's got to be the king, not some prophet. Oh, man, the prophet, he won't come and talk to me. And also, the muddy Jordan, and that was seven times. I mean, it's like the walls of Jericho. God told him, said, you walk around the wall seven times on the seventh day. Blow the trumpet, and the walls fall down, and you'll have victory. God will always, without exception, ask us to do something. Always, without exception. What we need to do is we need to step out in faith and start believing God. I'm just telling you, it's just that simple. The Bible is full of stories of people who didn't have any ability in the natural. What are you going to do? Well, I'm just trusting God. We don't have enough men. We don't have enough time. It's too late. It's too early. You know, what? No, God loves to show off. God is to show off. He just needs somebody to trust him. So be encouraged today, guys. Great story, 2 Kings. Men, you know, we got a servant, just stepped out. Come on. This guy got healed. How'd he do it? He was obeying the word of God. If you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. God bless, guys. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.